1 Corinthians chapter number 1, many of us are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. You'll get further acquainted with that once we start our tongue study back up, coming up here in the future. And that'll be next month, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 18 down through 24, but actually verse 23 is going to be the concentration for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, amen. Now, before we read that, let's quote our theme verse together up here. Preach all you can. Here we go. Preach to all you can. Reach all you can. Each do all you can. And then let's quote Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Amen. Let's read verse 18 down through 24 now with me. And all together, here we go. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Continuing with our theme of preaching to all you can and reaching all you can, and each of us doing all that we can. We see Paul doing just that at Corinth when he says that we preach Christ. And today we're going to emphasize basically those three words, we preach Christ, putting the emphasis a little different each time. We'll notice our theme for the year. And what we want to do is place a little bit more encouragement in our pockets and in our minds and in our hearts about who it is that we're preaching, why it is we're preaching, and what we need to do with this theme here, preaching, reaching, and each of us doing all that we can. And our inviting and our witnessing and our encouraging and our evangelizing, I don't want us to ever forget who it is that we're talking about. You know, we can build up the church and we can talk about ourselves and how good of a congregation we have. And those things are great and they're fine. But the drawing card is still Christ. And Paul said, we preach Christ down there in verse number 23. He says, we preach Christ. And that's going to be our concentration. It's not the church or ourselves, but Christ that we're preaching that people can be saved. Father, bless down the words that we speak this morning. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord, first and foremost, for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And Lord, as we're going out in the highways and the byways, compelling people to come, Lord, may we truly keep the message where it ought to be, preaching Christ. Well, thank you so much that the world may think it's foolishness, but you say it's the power of God. The world may think they're wise, but in their wisdom they knew not God. And Lord, so it please you by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. God, as we go about our daily tasks, to our jobs, to our schools, and our communities, Lord, wherever we go, it's great to invite people out. It's great to talk about our church, but at the end of the day, the church can't save them, neither can we. Only can Jesus Christ save them, Lord, so help us to preach Christ to everybody that we may come into contact with when we get the opportunity. We may share our Lord, our Savior, our Master in whom we love. Thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, have your hands upon the children's area and what they're doing. And Lord, through it all, may you be uplifted and glorified. And again, I pray that a soul today that knows not Christ might be arrested and understand they need to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl, whether they're religious or not, to see the need for Christ today. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. Holy Spirit, have liberty. Lord, help us to be attentive to the word of God. And then, Lord, may you get the preeminence in what we do. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Mr. Dawson's got our special today.
The message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus. Far away, oh, door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson. What a blessed message and song. Amen. Each one, reach one. That's what we're endeavoring to do, getting people under the sound of the gospel. Can we bring that up, brother, real quick, so we can get the slide show started? That would be a blessing. Amen. Well, we're at the close of the month here, and what we want to do is give you one reminder as to what we're trying to do in regards to getting people under the sound of the gospel. Get that front set up. Thank you so much. We preach Christ is, we don't want to get them all turned off, brother. Amen. Have folks in here snoozing. Amen. You're going to sleep. Amen. We'll turn them all off. We may be in trouble. Amen. But the entire year, our theme is going to be preaching and reaching, and each one of us doing all that we can to get the gospel out so that people can get saved. And we're going through different measures to do that. Neighbor Sunday, we had that last Sunday. No, was it last? Yeah, it was last Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last Sunday. Amen. Had the Neighbor Sunday, and so we've got a lot of other special days. The next special day coming up, of course, Valentine's Day is coming up next month in February. Then in March, Easter's coming up, and then we've got Boss and Coworkers Day. So mixed days that we can have to bring people under the sound of the gospel. But in all of our going out, we want to make sure that we don't forget it's Christ that's going to save them. We can invite them to church. We can invite them to Neighbor Day and Co-Workers Day and all those things. That's great. And that's just a means to an end. But the true source of the power is going to be in the name of Jesus Christ. People have got to hear the name of Jesus Christ. We're just going through these instrumental ways to try to get people here and giving you an opportunity to get them here. But we want to get them to Christ and want to get them saved. And so today we're just going to look at those three words basically and talk about them in different aspects. So we preach Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. We do have some other places we're going to be turning to. Just want to let you know that. Give you a little bit of background, first of all, on the book of Corinth. Most of us already know this, but Corinth was a Greek city where Paul started a church on his second missionary journey. Of course, he was sent out of the church in Antioch and went all over and came into Europe, and this church was planted. It's a Greek city. And he wrote this letter specifically to answer questions and also to correct some things that had gone wrong since his departure from that church. Say, preacher, what could have gone wrong? Well, he actually starts talking about some of those problems right here in chapter number 1, dealing with divisions and contentions. Notice verse number 10. He says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you." Right there, he's already tackling the issue. "But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me," Paul says, "somebody told me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So Paul said, you know, I got to deal with divisions. I got to deal with these contentions among you. I heard about that. Notice what he says in verse 12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul and of Apollos and of Cephas and of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other." Notice verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." But what, Paul? "But to preach." Preach what? "The gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So Paul lets him know about these contentions and these divisions. He says, look, is Christ divided? Shouldn't be any of that because Christ is one. And so everybody should be together. He further illustrates that down starting in verse number 18. Notice what he says. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." By the way, do you know that many people will not come to hear preaching because they think it's foolishness? You're going to go and listen to some loudmouth man tell you how wicked you are and how much of a sinner you are. Then you're going to believe on somebody who called himself Jesus, who died and was buried, and they say he's risen again. That's foolishness. And that's the way some people say it.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
He says, "The preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." You know what? To us that have been saved, we know it's not foolishness. We know it's how we got saved. We know it's the cross. We know it's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Paul said, hey, to us, we know it's the power of God. To them, they think it's foolishness. People drive around every Sunday and think, man, these foolish people in church, giving their money away to a preacher. By the way, you're not giving your money away to a preacher. You're giving your money to God. And you're not giving it away because God's going to give you all of it back and then some. Amen. But that's what they think. Down throughout this passage, Paul continues to use the words wisdom, wise, and foolish because they were so smart, so they thought that they had become dumb or foolish. Notice what he says in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. By the way, the Jews were looking for a sign. And by the way, Jesus did signs. But you know what? The tragedy of the matter, all the signs that Jesus did, raising the dead, healing the lepers, restoring sight to people, multiplying food, all the miracles that he did, they didn't believe him. They rejected him still. But let me tell you something. You read 2 Thessalonians. Because they rejected him and they're still rejecting him, there's going to come a man that they will receive, and his name is called the Antichrist, and he's going to do signs. He's going to do some wonders. 2 Thessalonians says they're going to believe a lie. They wouldn't accept any of the signs that Jesus did, but the Antichrist will come and they will receive those signs. How tragic. The very Son of God came and they didn't believe him and his signs, and he loved them. The Antichrist is going to come. They will believe him, and he hates them. And he's going to use them, and he's going to abuse them. The tragedy of rejecting Jesus Christ. And he said the Jews wanted a sign. What more sign could he give you? He said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again the third day. What more signs can you ask for? But that's what the Jews seek for. But he says in verse number 22, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They wanted some knowledge. Show us how wise you are. And he said, you know what? My wisdom, my foolish wisdom is too smart for you. He says, but we preach Christ crucified. Under the Jews, a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, foolishness. So the Jews are going to stumble at it. The Greeks think it's foolishness. He said, but under them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, power of God, and the wisdom of God. So Paul begins detailing some of the problems that we're experiencing in this church here and since his departure. But he lets them know, you know what? With all this going on, I'm still going to preach Christ. Amen. I know you got your problems and I know things are going on, but I'm still going to preach Christ because that's how you got saved. And that's how you're going to grow. We preach Christ. Just going to emphasize the three words a little different. First way we're going to emphasize is going to be we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Emphasis on we. If we are going to be a church, then we are going to have to preach Christ. You and I collectively, you and I individually. By the way, the word we in the concordance, if you look it up, it means us or ourselves. Merriam-Webster Dictionary says this. It says, I and the rest of a group that includes me. It also says you and I. It also says you and I and others included in our group. That's we. Paul said, we preach Christ. Those in my group preach Christ. Those with me preach Christ. May I extend to you that you and I must preach Christ. We must preach Christ. It's us. By the way, you say, preacher, who is this we? It's our membership. It's a membership. May I submit to you that it's not just the pastors and their wives or the deacons and their wives or the leaders and their spouses. It's for all our membership. Amen. Do you know you have just as much ability and capability of giving out Christ as I do? Yep. I don't have a market on Christ. The same Christ that you have, the same Christ that I have, that'll save the people out there. Amen. Why? We preach Christ. Let's put it another way. If we all received money, wouldn't you want your share? How many wouldn't want their share? You gonna give me your share? Preacher, you can have my share. We all getting some money, but I don't want my money. You can have your share. Let's just suppose we, the church, received $10 million. And it was to go to us collectively as a body of Christ here, but it was also to go to us individually as each member. Wouldn't you want your share? Oh, amen. You would say, share and share alike. Well, our church collectively is we. Our church collectively is we. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, "Go ye," which indicates you and I. Collectively, as all, but as individuals too. We are the church individually. The church is made up of individual families, but collectively we're called the church. Notice up in verse number 1 and 2. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto who? The church. Guess what they would call themselves? We, collectively. And also, individually, they would call themselves we. Why? It's made up of me, you, and us as a group. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all are in Christ Jesus? Amen. That would be you. Amen. Called to be saints. How many of y'all are saint? That would be you. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. He said, to everybody else that's calling on Jesus. We're in one big family, but here we're in a local church. And so we are the church individually, and we are the church collectively. Hold your finger there. Go over to chapter number 12. And we'll come on this in tongues. Notice what he says down there in chapter number 12 and verse number 27. Paul says this, 12:27, speaking to the church at Corinth. Now ye are the body of Christ, notice this, and members in particular. You know what he's saying? You're individual members. Do you know that your body is made up of individual members? You've got a thing called a pinky. You got a thing called a thumb. You got a thing called an index finger. You got something else called a toe. You got something else called a small toe, a big toe. You got something called an elbow. You got something called a nose. Now take all those parts out and just strew them around. You know what you won't have? A body. Somebody, that you don't pick up a nose and say, oh, look, I found a body. You don't pick up a toe and say, oh, look, I found a body. You don't pick up an eyeball and say, look, I found a body. You put all the members together and you call it a body. Paul said you guys are members of the same body. Go back to 1 Corinthians. So your body, you are the body of Christ, members in particular. As a result, we should preach Christ. Paul said, we preach Christ. You don't have to go soul winning on Saturdays to preach Christ, but you should go. By the way, things that get scheduled usually get done. Amen. Go over to verse Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Hold your finger there. And again, this is just getting us the impetus that I think we need to get out there and preach Christ and not preach anything else. Mark 16 and verse 15. In Mark 16... our theme verse was given to the church of 11 and passed down to us by the word ye. Notice what it says in Mark 16 and verse 15. He says, and he said unto them, and that's the 11, go ye into all the world. What he was saying is what I want you 11 to do as individuals is to go into all the world. Now, collectively, they all got the command, but he's saying individually, I want you to take it as if I gave it only to you. That's what the word ye indicates. I'm speaking to everybody, but I want everybody to take it as if I'm speaking it only to you. And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye is we. Why? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and so should we. John 20 and verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know, sometimes giving out the gospel is not going to be convenient. I was coming home the other day, and one of our neighbors, we had tried to get them to come out. We gave them the flyer, knocked on their door. They weren't at home. And I came home just the other evening on Thursday, and guess who was outside? Playing football in the street with the children, and guess who didn't have time? You guessed it. And you know what I told God? I said, God, why they got to be outside right now? I ain't got time for this. I've got things I've got to get done. I don't have time for this. And you know what God kind of whispered back to me? I had time for you. Somebody had time for you. Somebody made time for you. Somebody spent hours with you. and you don't have time for someone else. I said, Lord, but you know what I got to do. He said, yeah, I know what you got to do. Go out there and talk to them. And you know what I did? I went out there and talked to them.
Amen.
Talked to them for about an hour. Why? I'm trying to preach Christ.
Yes, sir.
You know, folks, we're not going to always have time. You're going to have to make time. Nobody has time all the time. And if you don't make time, guess what? It's not going to happen. I remember Pastor White told me the story about Mike Perkins, how they was watching the mailbox, trying to watch and time him coming out to the mailbox. And when he go out to the mailbox, Pastor White go out to pretend like he's checking his too. Just so he can talk to him. What's he doing? He's making the time. Making the time. And I had asked the Lord, give me a time. Give me a time. Give me a time. Give me a time. And he gave me a time. And I said, well, I don't have time now. We must preach Christ. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. Well, not just we preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. Say, preacher, what is that? Talked about this before. It's our message. It's a method. By the way, may I share this with you? This is not an idea. It's not a thought. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Go ye and preach the gospel. He didn't say go ye and try to preach the gospel. He didn't say go ye and do your best to preach the gospel. He didn't say go ye and hope you preach the gospel. He said go ye and what? Preach the gospel. What did Christ, Paul said? We preach Christ. We preach. One of the things about the word preach, it means to herald, to pronounce, to proclaim, to publish, to make known, to tell forth, to pronounce, to put forth. We've got to put Christ forth. We've got to put it out there. Why? Nothing else will work. Only preaching to a sinful heart will get people saved. Now, there are different ways to preach. Now, you're not going to be up in somebody's face and start yelling at them. That's not the kind of preaching he's talking about. That's reserved for the pulpit. That's reserved for the masses. That's reserved for the places where you've got to proclaim to many people. But preaching is just telling forth, pronouncing, giving it to somebody. Why? We preach Christ. May I share this? It's not a notion from the pastor. You know, for some reason, people think that the pastor just made that up. Pastor's got nothing else better to do, so he created soul winning on Saturdays. Don't you think preacher got something else that he could be doing too? I don't know why you made up this soul winning thing. I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. I confess, it's not me. Folks think the preacher makes this stuff up. It's not an option from the pastor. Turn over to Mark 16 with me, if you're still there. And I want you to see who said this. Notice verse 15 says, and he said unto them. Now, who's the he? We'll go back up to verse 14. Afterward, he. Let's go back up to 13 to find out who he is. And they went and told him, let's find out who they are. Verse 12, after that he, let's find out who he is. Verse 11, and they, let's find out who they is. Go back up to verse number 10. And she went, well, who is she? Let's go back up to verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to who? Mary Magdalene, out of whom he, who's he? Jesus, had cast seven devils. And she, who's she? Mary Magdalene, went and told them, who's them? The 11 that had been with him as they mourned. Who's them? The 11. And they, the 11, when they had heard that he, who's he? Jesus, was alive and had been seen of her, who's her? Mary Magdalene, believed not. Who believed not? The 11. After that, he, who's he? Jesus, appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked in the way. Who's the they there? The two of them. And went into the country. And they, who's the they? Those two, went and told it unto the residue. Who's the residue? The 11. Neither believed they them. Who's the them there and the they? The two and the 11. Afterward, he, who's the he? Jesus, appeared unto who? The 11, as they said at meat. And upbraided them, who's them? The 11, with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they, who's they? 11, believed not them which had been seen, had seen him after he, who's he? Jesus, was risen. And he, who's he? And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world. So who told you to go?
Jesus.
It's not a notion from the pastor, as some people think. Preachers just get this stuff and tell people you need to go soul winning. You need to go out and win souls. Pastor's not smart enough to think of something like that. He's not smart enough to think of something like that. That's God's formula. Jesus said, go ye. So as we are preaching Christ, it's not a notion from the pastor. Jesus said it. My children will often get together, and they will often be given a command from me. And I'll say, go tell so-and-so to do such and such. Now, if they go and say, Daddy said, it'll get done. But if they go and don't say, Daddy said, they just give a command and tell somebody to do something, guess what? Oftentimes, it ain't going to get done. You know what the kids will often come back and say? You're not my boss. Or they'll say, you're not my daddy. Or they'll say, you're not my mama. Why? They didn't go with the command of Daddy said or Mama said. When they go with that command, Mama said or Daddy said, and they don't do it, guess what? They got to contend with Mama. They got to contend with Daddy. Preacher, what you getting at? Jesus is your boss. And if Jesus said go, guess what? It's not an it's not a notion from the pastor. Jesus told you to go. So when you don't do it, pastor's just enforcing what Jesus said collectively as a church. And so when we don't do it, who you're disobeying? Your boss. I'm just kind of watching the fort. I'm just watching the fort. By the way, Jesus is our boss and we should obey him. I'm just the messenger. For Jesus to inform you of his plan. By the way, back in Bible times, if people didn't like the message they received, you know what they would often do? Shoot the messenger. If they would come to the king with news that the king didn't want to hear, the king would have them killed sometimes. Hence, that's where we get the phrase, shoot, don't shoot the messenger. Because they would actually shoot them or kill them. I'm so glad it's not that time anymore. Because some of y'all had those looks that could kill me. How dare you tell me I got to go and do soul winning? Take it home and read it. It's going to say the same thing. And ye is still going to be we. Ye is still going to be all the ones that's hearing. It's still going to be us. I don't care where you put it. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. It's not a notion from the pastor. Let me give you this as well. It's not an option for the people. Read Mark 6, 16, 15 again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. It's not my command. It's not a notion from the pastor. It's not an option for the people. In Mark 16, 15, it says it. Matthew 28, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 puts it this way. Moreover, it's required and stewards that a man be found faithful. So it's not a notion from the pastor. It's not an option for the people. You know what? Before a preacher ever told me to go soul winning, me and my wife had already gone soul winning. Amen. You did? You didn't have a class. You don't need to have a class. All you have to do is tell somebody what was told to you. And tell somebody what happened to you. That's called a witness. Boy, why are you so different? I got saved. How you got saved? I repented of my sins and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, how did you do that? Somebody told me I was going to hell. I was unsaved. I need to be saved from my sins. I was repentant of my sins and I turned around and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm born again. I'm saved. I've got a new spirit in me. Something happened to me. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Why? It's not an option for the people. Say, preacher, what is it? It's a mandate. Matthew 28, 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's a mandate. Something that we must do, but also it is our motivation. Go to John 21. John 21. I'll show you something here. John 21 and verse 21. Because we're going to be busy about this all year long. We've got to understand this is not a notion from the preacher, and this is not an option for the people. It's something that Jesus said we've got to do. Paul said, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. John 21, and you find here Jesus telling Peter to feed his sheep or feed his lamb. And you find in Peter here kind of looking at John as John is kind of laying on Jesus' bosom. And notice what it says here in verse number 20, because Jesus had just told Peter, feed my lamb down there in verse number 17. Notice what it says. He said unto him, the third time, son of Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus tells him basically how he's going to die. And in verse 19, Peter looks around at somebody else. Verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. I'm sorry, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said, Lord, and what should this man do? So in other words, if you can imagine me being Jesus and me giving Peter the instructions on feeding my sheep, and then this being the one who leaned on the bosom, and Peter turning and looking at him, and then Peter coming back to me and saying, Lord, what he going to do?
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
Isn't that the way we get sometimes when it comes to soul winning? Well, Lord, if I go soul winning, what are they going to do?
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
Well, Lord, if I show up on Saturday, what about the people that don't show up? Well, Lord, if I go knocking on doors, what is everybody else going to do? What about them? Who did Jesus tell to do something? Did he tell John to do anything? Mm-mm. Sometimes we have the idea, if I do it, what's everybody else going to do? You know, we preach. Notice what Jesus says to him. Because sometimes we need to hear this. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Jesus said, you know what? Don't mind what he's doing. Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, Jesus said, you know what? Don't worry about what John's doing. Just do what I told you to do. Folks, when it comes to this idea of going and preaching the gospel, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Just do what Jesus told you to do. You know, when it came to that Thursday when I got home and I saw my neighbor out there, I couldn't worry about what everybody else was doing. I had to just do what Jesus told me to do. Go across and talk to him now. But Lord, what's Carmen going to do? I didn't speak to Carmen the way I spoke to you. I told you to go. Well, Lord, what's the kids going to do? I didn't tell them to go either. I told you to go. And guess what I did? I went. And guess what? I got an opportunity to witness. And guess what? Looking for it again. One of the neighbors that I had not gotten a chance to physically talk to. What am I saying? Folks, it's our mandate to go. It's our should be our motivation to go. But also should be our mindset to go. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. By the way, if you are saved today, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit and you're a witness. You don't have to do anything in of yourself other than make yourself available to his power and his strength. You don't have to do anything other than to just divulge what he tells you to divulge and put yourself at his disposal. And my friend, he will use you, and it will be effortlessly. I went across the street, talked to my neighbor, and it was almost like I was just floating on air. Just, why? He gave me the power. He said, if you will obey, I will give you what you need to do it. And guess what? I submitted and surrendered and obeyed. I floated right across the street. Not literally. I know some of y'all are saying, levitating now, Pastor. Watch out. I don't know about that. Effortlessly went across the street, talked to him. He said, preacher, what did you say? I said, you know what? I said, I put a door hanger on your door the other day because it was neighbor day at our church, and I wanted to get you guys out. And I said, I missed you guys. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. And immediately, you know what he said? What church is it? Open Door. I said, shining light. I said, I'm the pastor, and I boom. From that point on, effortlessly. Now, if I had tried to say, okay, well, Lord, let me do what I got to do first, then I'll go out there and knock on his door. I saw you outside earlier. I'm eating dinner now. I don't want no time for you. I had to take the time that he gave me. Why? It should be my mindset to go. It should be my motivation to go. Why? Because it's my mandate to go. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Trying to help us out, folks, when we go this year, as we're going out throughout this year, to make sure that we understand it's Christ that we're trying to preach. We want to take advantage of opportunities when they come up because we preach Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice or why it should be our mindset to go and preach. Verse number 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What did it do? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why do we preach? Because preaching pleases God. It preaches God. So we preach Christ. We preach Christ, but we preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. Who is that? It's our Messiah. Christ is our Messiah. Paul said, it's Christ that we preach. Messiah means the anointed one or Messiah. So when you look at Paul saying, we preach Christ, Christ means anointed or Messiah. He is the one whom God has picked or crowned to be the one to redeem sinful man. He was the one that they were waiting for. He was the one that the Jews talked about. He was the one Isaiah talked about. He was the one Jeremiah talked about. He was the one David talked about in Psalm. Moses talked about him. All the men of God, the prophets of old, talked about him, the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. Say, preacher, why are we going to preach Christ? Because no other name will do. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, you can call him what you want to call him, but if you don't call on Jesus, you're not going to get saved. Jesus died for your sins, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not Mary Eddie Lee Baker, not Charles Taz Russell. Not the angel Moroni. None of those died for your sins. No other name will do. He's the one the Jews were waiting for and the Greeks needed. All men need Christ. Jews, Gentiles, slaves or free, rich or poor, good or bad, prince or pauper, religious or wretched. All need Christ, our Messiah. We preach Christ because no one else will save. Notice this. Deuteronomy 4:35 says this. I am the Lord. He is God, and there is none else beside him. Deuteronomy 4:39 said this way. The Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. 1 Kings 8:60 says it this way. The Lord is God, and that there is none else. Isaiah 45:5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Isaiah 45:6 says it this way. There is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. 46:9 of Isaiah, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. We preach Christ because no one else can save. There's no other name that can save. There's no one else that can save. We preach Christ because no one else can save. But you know what? Some folks aren't going to believe on Christ. Notice verse number 23 again. We preach Christ. But notice what Paul says. Crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. We understand that a stumbling block means a scandal. So to the Jews, this is scandalous to believe that this Christ, this person that you said is the anointed, this perpetrator, this shyster, this fakester who's done all these things by Beelzebub, it's a scandal to say he's my Messiah. Amen. Christ was a stumbling block to them. They couldn't believe it. Stumbling block means a scandal. It means a snare to cause displeasure. Christ was displeasurable to them. He helped the common man. He helped the sinful. He helped the leper. He helped the down and out. He helped us. People like you and me. And to them, that was a travesty. Stumbling block means to cause displeasure or sin, to cause occasion to fall, to be an offense or a thing that offends. It was a stumbling block because it outraged them to think of their Messiah allowing himself to be crucified, cursed of the Mosaic law. How could it be? But somebody had to be put to death for our sin. Romans 3:10 still says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23 still says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The Bible still says in the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:12 still says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:14 still says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The Jews rejected him. And so Christ became a stumbling block to him. And so, yes, Christ crucified will cause some to fall. Some people today, not even Jews, will not believe that Jesus was dead. Well, he just swooned, they say. He was kind of passed out. No, he didn't pass out. He gave up the ghost and he died. Because if Christ be not dead, buried, and risen again, guess what? You and I are still in our sins. Some will call Christ foolishness. It says down there in verse number 23, but we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. They're going to stumble at it. It's a snare to them. And they're going to fall at that. But he says unto the Jews, unto the Greeks, is foolishness. Foolishness means silly, absurd. To the Greeks who look for strength and wisdom, Christ crucified was senseless and utter foolishness. Say, preacher, what was their reasoning? How could anyone accept as Lord and Savior a Christ who did not have enough common sense to avoid the disgrace of death by crucifixion? How could somebody that claimed to be God and opened the eyes of blind men allow himself to be pierced in the side? How can someone claiming to be God and have all the power of God and can have people plant thorns on his head? How can he who can speak the name and people fall down not prevent himself from going on a cross? It's foolishness to say he's God. It's foolishness. How can it be? The Greeks were after wisdom. They were after strength. And so to them, Christ was foolishness. How could it be? How could anyone accept this type of a Lord who didn't have enough common sense to avoid this disgrace? Matthew 27 and verse 42, they said this, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him and you'd still be in your sins. Luke 23 and 35 said this way, and the people stood up beholding, and their rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. May I submit to you, not if he is, he was. And he still is Christ. Notice verse 24, though. Matter of fact, before that, one thing that the Jews forgot. Go to Isaiah with me. He had to go to the cross, and they forgot about Isaiah. And they forgot about what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53. They forgot all about that. He's still Christ. He's still the anointed, but he had to die for the sins of mankind. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah wrote of him. Notice what he says. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne who? Our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him what? Stricken, to strike or to beat, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. Why did he come down from off the cross? Why didn't he say something? Because he was fulfilling the scripture prophecy to die for the sins of mankind. So the Greeks say it's foolishness to let someone do that, but I'm doing it for you. The Jews said, give us a sign. He said, I've given you sign after sign after sign. But I'm so glad that 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 24 is there. Go back there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. So glad that Paul said, you know what? To some folk it may be a stumbling block. To some other folks it may be foolishness. He said, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, he said, I don't care if they are a Jew. I don't care if they are a Greek. Christ doesn't have to be a stumbling block. He doesn't have to be foolishness. But Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, for those that will listen, those that will go past the stumbling block, those that will go past the foolishness of preaching, those that will get saved and humble themselves, he's the power of God. Folks, you and I can attest to that power. We can attest to that spirit. We can attest to that conviction. We can attest that God is faithful. Christ is risen. Jews and Greeks that are called and receive Christ crucified, buried, and risen again, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why? Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. He said, I can give you something that's just childlike to me, and it'll confound you. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. He said, give you my weakest side, and it's stronger than the strongest man. For you see your calling, brother, now, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God said, you know, I'm reserving it to preaching. I'm reserving it to things that you might think foolish. I'm reserving it to things that you may think unwise. I'm reserving it to these things so that only a few people can understand it, and it's not in you. Power's in me. Always has been, always will be. No flesh is going to glory. The Bible says this word, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing you can do but receive grace. Nothing you can do but receive grace. There's nothing that you can do but say, God, have mercy on me. That's all you can say. God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Paul said, we preach Christ because no other name will do and no other one can say. He says in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has made all that to you and I. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in who? In the Lord. What am I saying? Folks, we have to preach Christ. Nothing else will do. No one else will do. It's not a notion of the pastor. It's not an option for the people. It's our mandate. It should be our motivation. It should be our mindset that this is who I'm preaching. This is what I do. I go. Paul said, we preach Christ. He said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 18, he would say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 24 again, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Why? We preach Christ. Folks, as we go and we are attempting to reach all that we can and preaching all that we can and reaching all we can and each of us doing all we can, make sure that we're preaching Christ. Don't preach a church. Your church can't save anybody. Your pastor can't save anybody. Your brothers and sisters can't save anybody. Now, granted, we have some things here for people to enjoy when they get here. I'm not knocking that at all. But I'm saying Christ is the one that's going to save them. And Paul said, we preach Christ. And some folks, it may be a stumbling block, and others, it may be foolishness, but you know what? Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Hey, we're going to preach, we're going to try to reach, and each one's going to do all they can. He said, some are going to get saved. Some are going to understand it's the power of God. Some are going to get right with God. And hallelujah for those that do. And when they do, they come into this place called the church. What is that? We. When they come in here, you know what we're going to do? Go right back out there and get somebody else. And when they get saved, we're going to bring them right back in here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go back out there and get somebody else. And we're going to keep doing the same thing. Why? He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It's not over until there's nobody left to preach to. Paul said, we preach Christ. Folks, let me encourage you in something. As you go out, don't get discouraged. As you go out, don't look like Peter and say, what is this man going to do? Just say, Lord, I want to be obedient and do what you told me to do. It may not be on Saturday. It may not be on Friday. It may not be on Thursday. It may not be on Wednesday. It may not be on Tuesday. Whatever day it is that God's told you to go, you need to go. And when you go, preach Christ. And go because it's a mandate to go. And go because I'm motivated to go. And go because it's my mindset. I must go. And go give Christ. Some, it's going to be foolishness. They're going to mock you. But guess what? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. That's how I got saved. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me why somebody would die for me. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me at all. That God of heaven would come down for me, little old me. It didn't make sense that he'd go all through all that for me. And that he had to be crucified and buried for my sin. It didn't make sense to me. But you know what? I couldn't resist the power of God that said there is no other name. There is no one else that can save you. And there is no other way. Why? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, let's preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. Let's preach Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. Folks, we've been challenged all this month on preaching and reaching in each. Just another message to add to what we've already talked about. And I don't know which one of those three you would say you need more. Maybe more emphasis on the we part and you need to go. Maybe more emphasis on the preach part. Maybe you need to proclaim Christ a little bit more. Or maybe Christ part. Maybe you just need to understand that he's the anointed. He's the Messiah. Nothing else and no one else will do. I don't know which one of those you need more of. But I tell you this, I know all of us need to be recommissioned on preaching Christ. And we need to preach Christ. Remember, it's not a notion of the pastor. It's not an option for the people. We must preach Christ. There's no other way to get saved. Father, bless down these next several moments as we have our invitation time. Lord, I don't know where everybody stands in this issue, Lord. I know many things can sidetrack us, good things and some bad things can sidetrack us, Lord. But help us today to preach Christ crucified. Whether he's a stumbling block, it matters not. And whether he's foolishness, it matters not. Just help us to preach it. Preach Christ. Bless down this invitation in Jesus' name. All around this room where you're at. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning. You say, you know, preacher, I need to go preach better. I need to reach better. Maybe each as an individual, I need to do better. Whatever it is. I want you to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me to get a hold of this preach part. Maybe get a hold of this reach part. Maybe a part of this each part. Or maybe the we part. Or maybe the Christ part. I don't know where you're at, but whatever it is that God would have you to do, would you do it? Don't worry about what somebody else is going to do. Just do what God has told you to do. Father, move now in these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you come. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. I don't know where you're at, but I know we need you. Keep this before us the remainder of this year. And we need to preach Christ. Jesus paid it all. Nothing in us. Maybe you need to come out on Saturdays and knock on some doors. Maybe you can't come out on Saturdays. You need to go another day and knock on some doors. Maybe you need to preach Christ. Maybe it's Christ you need to preach, not the church. Maybe it's the proclaiming part that you need to do. Speak up a little bit more. Be a little bit more bold in your workplace. But I know this. People will not get saved if they don't hear the name of Christ. They won't get saved without the name of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in the other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If someone's going to be a stumbling block, we understand that. If someone's going to be foolishness, we understand that. But we preach Christ. We, that's a membership, preach, it's our method. Christ is our Messiah. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. How about it, Christian? The decision to emphasize in your life is it the we part? You as an individual. Is it the preach part? Speaking up for Christ a little bit more. Or is it the Christ part? Making sure he's talking about Christ, not the church. Sin had left that crimson stain. Father, thank you so much for Paul's encouragement to this young church at Corinth, Lord. Although they had many problems, I don't know of a church that does not have its problems. Well, thank you that Paul could boldly say, you know, it's not about the divisions, it's not about the contentions that you're having, it's about preaching Christ. And we preach Christ. Lord, help us to understand that it's going to be a stumbling block for some. It's going to be foolishness to others. But to those that are called, both Jew and Greeks alike, Lord, it's the power of God. And help us to know that the power is in the cross. The power is in the preaching of the gospel. It is the gospel message whereby men are saved, death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, as we go out to preach Christ, giving us the opportunity, Lord, may we share Jesus Christ. Sometimes we only have the chance but to give him a track. Lord, help us to give that track that Christ is preached in. Sometimes we can only invite them to church. We understand that. Sometimes we can only just say God is good. Sometimes we can only just be a good testimony, Lord. We understand that. Lord, whatever it is that we have a chance to do, help us to be able to say we're doing this for the glory and the praise of God. Work in our lives, Lord, as a church collectively, but then work in our lives as individuals that we would truly preach our method, Christ, our Messiah. Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ. They've never been born again. I pray for that man. That woman, a boy or girl, they would not leave here today without getting things settled with Almighty God. They are not sure heaven is their home. Lord, help them to understand, I need to be saved. Trouble their heart until they must be born again today and make a decision for Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need. Bring us back tonight for the evening service, Lord. In the meantime, we have opportunity. Help us to preach Christ and share the gospel of Jesus. Next, Pastor White, if you'd come and close in a word of prayer. And folks, don't forget about our DVD we're going to show tonight for our five-year revival reflections. Pastor White's preaching tonight, so you want to come back and be a support to him. And then we've got our fifth Sunday fellowship as well, right after Pastor preaches.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for today. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the practical challenge that we had this morning from your word about reaching this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, Lord, that all that were under the sound of the preaching and teaching this morning, and even those that will hear this prayer, Lord, that you have touched their hearts and realized, Lord, you've left it up to us to be vessels that would be honorable and for the use of furthering the gospel. And you could have chosen another avenue, but you chose to challenge us about the reason that we ought to go, that each one preach and do all that we can for the glory of God. We praise you this morning, Lord, and ask that you just be with Ms. Charmaine. We think of Ms. White this morning as well, Lord, that are sick. I pray you touch their bodies, Lord, raise them up here in the days soon to come. And we pray that your blessings will go with us, Lord, as we leave this place. Bring us back tonight at the appointed time, Lord, as we celebrate the word of God. Lord, that we have food and have fellowship, but also, Lord, we just remember, commemorate the moments and times that we've had here in the life of the Shining Light Baptist Church. We love you and praise you and ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.